This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
Now, bear with me just a moment. Got a little thought going on here. Y'all open your Bibles up, if you will, this evening to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. I had a thought today. I just wanted to share with everybody. I want to ask you a question as we get ready to go into this message, and it's really unrelated, I do believe, in all my heart and mind, that it is unrelated, but I want to ask you a question. This evening is, when is the last time you remember getting a touch of God on your life? And you may say, preacher, what does that mean? Does that mean that I felt something? Well, you might have felt something, amen. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And I know we Baptists like to shy away from speaking about feelings and about, well, I felt this and the Lord told me that and the Holy Spirit moved upon me. And we're afraid of those words in the Independent Baptist movement today. But friend, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Those are Bible words. Amen. Those are Bible words. Now, I'm not getting into some kind of charismatic fit with you this evening. I'm not going to tell you that I've ever heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ audibly. I don't believe any of us today alive ever have. I don't care whose testimony says that the Lord spoke to them in an audible voice. I don't believe it. It's not biblical. We don't need that, amen. The times of the revelation are over with. There is no new revelation. There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible tells me. The Bible has been sealed up far as revelations. Revelations go, not the book of Revelation, but far as revelations go, it's been sealed up. And the last revelation was given unto John the Apostle. Prior to that, it was given unto Paul of the church. And then the Bible was closed, amen. But Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy today, praise God, than even the prophets did, who saw the millennial kingdom in the heaven to come. In the midst of this church age, it was hidden from them. We have a more sure word of prophecy, and it's in this book right here, amen. You got to believe the book, praise God. You got to believe what it says. Don't worry about what it means. Just believe what it says. And if you believe that tonight, you're going to be okay. In your life, amen. How many people believe here tonight that the Bible says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, speaking of God? How many people believe that this evening? But there's been times and seasons of our life when it sure feels like we've been awful alone. Say amen. It seems like God's nowhere around. I mean, we read the Bible and nothing jumps out. We pray, doesn't seem like it gets past the ceiling. And we do all these things, and it just seems like we're going nowhere. But we got to believe the Bible that He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, amen. And if you'll just believe it tonight, God will have a blessing in your life. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus tonight. The book of Exodus. And I'm going to turn somewhere in here if I get this thing rolling tonight of what I want to do. And I do pray again that you would bear with me. Bear with me this evening as we begin to look at this Word of God that we've been given. Exodus in chapter 4. I just want to give you two verses tonight, so if you'll kindly stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Exodus in chapter 4. Exodus in chapter 4. I hit this in my morning reading this morning. Let me tell you something. I've been reading through the Bible for a while now. Chronologically, amen. I love our Bible outline we have on our calendar. I enjoy doing that as well. But I also like to go back and read through it chronologically. And I'm having a fun time doing that, amen. And it's a good time. And so I've been doing that as well as our other Bible program. And just for daily reading. And I'll tell you, God just kind of laid these words out to my heart tonight. And I hope they're a blessing unto you and maybe help you throughout the rest of this week and maybe in the months to come. The Bible says in Exodus 4, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, O rod. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed day that you've given us. We thank you for the time and opportunity that you've given us to be in your house tonight together with believers in Christ. Father, we pray you bless the youth in the back. We pray that you bless us now. Help us come together this evening, Lord, the spirit of unity and the spirit of peace. Help us learn what thus saith the Lord according to the word of God. Father, I pray that you move me out of the way. I pray, dear God, that you give me the words to say this evening, that may bring honor and glory to the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the people
will be fed tonight from the bounty on high. Dear God, I pray it be not me, but I pray that it be Thee this evening that will touch and tender the hearts and the lives of everybody present here this evening. Father, we love You, and we thank You tonight for all that You've done. But dear God in heaven, I want to publicly thank You for all that You're going to do in the lives of all of us present here. In Christ's name we ask, amen and amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated if you will. Now the Bible tells me here in these verses that the Lord appeared unto Moses. Now we're going to stop just for a second and chat just a little while, just to bring you up to speed. You know where they are. Moses was born a Hebrew. He was born and hidden 3 months from Pharaoh in Egypt. Pharaoh had put out a bounty saying that if you see a newborn child, you're to cast him into the Nile. And records show that thousands upon thousands of babies, male babies, were destroyed, cast into that Nile, and those crocodiles had taken their life. Amen. And so the records show that all these lives were taken away and robbed of their families because Pharaoh was afraid of what Israel was going to do. Amen. He said, save the women alive, but if you find a male, cast them into the Nile there. And Moses' mama saw that he was a goodly child, and she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she made him that little ark with pitch out of those bulrushes and put him inside that river and let him and just put him in the hands of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's sometimes in our life what we got to do. We just got to put our lives and the lives of those that we love into the Holy Spirit of God. Now, guys, I believe, and I think you know this quite well. I tend to preach on it every time I get behind a pulpit. I believe in passing tracts out. I believe in witnessing to the lost and dying. I believe in giving somebody a gospel tract, no matter where you are or what's going on. It never hurts taking an extra second and a half to two seconds and giving someone a gospel tract that they may read on their break or may read at home, use as a bookmark, whatever it may be, and let the Holy Spirit of God, have the Holy Spirit of God work on them. Now, guys, there are programs out there to teach people how to witness. There's programs out there that teach people how to door knock and how to visitate and how to do all these things. And I'm not saying those things are inherently bad, but one thing that I've noticed that they develop in the mindset of people today that try to go out and soul win, amen, they try to go out and win souls to Christ, is they force a decision from those that they're speaking to, amen. They'll bring a guilt trip on them. They'll bring fear on them. They'll do all these things, and 9 times out of 10, that person will bow their head, say a prayer, do whatever. Basically, what's happened, they have worn them down. So they'll finally say a prayer and say, okay, fine. And they'll say, praise the Lord, now you're saved. And then they'll walk out and they'll never see them another day in their life. You say, preacher, is that a bad thing? If that person did not get saved and born again, that's a bad thing. One thing that we have lost in the modern day church, in America and around the world, is we've lost the use and the ability of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me say this. We've lost the use and the ability of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't think about the Holy Ghost anymore. Beloved, let me say this to you. When the Apostle Paul, and those of you guys that was in the Sunday school for those 5 years and 2 months and 8 days that we taught on the Apostle Paul, which was still, I think, the greatest study I've ever done in my life, it helped me out. It's helping me today. And I tell you, if you were serious about it, it sure enough would help you. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this right now tonight as we focus on that. When you find Paul stepping up into a synagogue to preach, stepping up to a street corner, into a church house or by a riverbank and wherever, in Philippi, when he stepped up and he preached or prayed, he preached the word that God laid on his heart, but he let the Holy Spirit do the moving. He let the Holy Spirit touch people's hearts and lives. And friend, that's why Paul saw people saved and born again. He was in that Philippian jail over there. And around midnight, they started singing praises to the Lord Jesus. They wasn't complaining. They wasn't murmuring. They wasn't saying that jailer's a piece of garbage, I tell you. They wasn't saying any of those things. Here they were beaten and left for dead and chained up in the center prison. And the Bible says they sang hymns. They started praising God, thankful that the Lord allowed them to suffer for His name. That old earthquake happened. That old jailer rolled in there, didn't he? That old jailer is getting ready to kill himself, amen, because he knew he was going to have his head taken off, those prisoners being gone. Well, Paul said, do thyself no harm. He said, we're all here. Now, friend, all means all, and that's all means. He wasn't just talking about Paul and his companions. Friend, every prisoner that was locked up in that jailhouse that night had all gathered around Paul after that earthquake. Why do you think they gathered up around Paul? Because him being in the same condemnation as himself, guess what? Instead of complaining and murmuring and nagging and cussing and doing and pitching a fit, he praised God. And those people saw that he had something different. It wasn't a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. It wasn't a sales pitch. It wasn't the 12 steps to this. What it was Paul praising God and allowing the Holy Spirit of the Lord to work in the lives of those that was around him. Friend, that's where we need to get back to as a body today, is doing that which is right before the eyes of God and the eyes of man, but allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work in the lives of those around us. And friend, there's some things that you're going to have to do tonight in your life. There's some things that you're going to have to do tonight in your week, in your work week, in your Christian life. There's some things that you're going to have to change, amen, if you want to let go and allow the Holy Spirit to have His work. The Bible says here in Exodus in chapter 4, it says, "And the Lord said unto him," he said, "What is it? What is that in thine hand?" Now, friend, Moses spent 40 years in Egypt. Boy, I tell you, as the prince of Egypt, he was the man. And when it was discovered that he was a Hebrew and the things that he did when he killed that Egyptian, he was cast off and he spent another 40 years on the backside of a desert. Amen. Done married him a wife out there in Midian. And the Bible says there that he had a rod in his hand. Let me tell you this tonight, that a rod, friend, number one, is a symbol of one's profession. In Exodus chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountains of God, even to Horeb." His profession was that of a shepherd, my friend. A rod is a picture of one's profession. Moses had a rod. He carried the rod with him. He led those sheep down the way. He led them to the backside of the desert. Now, a desert is a dead place. A desert is a dry place. A desert is a hot place. And in all truth and all fairness, Moses was backslidden, if you will, on the backside of a desert in a dry place in his spiritual life. Spent 40 years being a son-in-law and a shepherd. And he had a rod. And that rod was a picture of the profession that he had at that time. But secondly, let me tell you this about that rod. God said, and the Lord said unto him, "Well, what is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." A rod is not only a symbol of one's profession, but a rod, my friend, is a symbol of protection. It's a symbol of protection. If you can flip in your Bibles real quick to Psalm 23, you know the verse quite well. You can probably quote the entire six verses of the 23rd Psalm. But in Psalm 23 in verse 4, David cries out and says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now we preached, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, on my number of weeks, we preached about 18 Wednesday nights on Psalm 23. Had a good time doing it. It was a blast. Amen. I had fun. Amen. And we learned that rod was a... That rod and that staff were two separate entities. Now, that a shepherd's crook, we know what that is. It's got the little hook on it. That crook was used for leading the sheep, keeping them close by. Whereas when they got too close to the edge of the cliff there, the kind shepherd would lean over there and he would grab a hold of that shepherd's crook and he would just wrap it around their neck and their chest and pull them right back into the way. But that rod was an instrument of protection. You see, a shepherd carried that rod to protect the sheep from the enemies of this world. Oh, David said over there that the Lord delivered him out of the mouth of the lion and delivered him out of the mouth of the bear. Amen. And I got a good idea. I know David used a sling and a rock over there probably to kill those things. I don't know exactly maybe what he used, but he could have used that or he could have used that rod. Amen. But David cries out unto the Lord and says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they are protecting him. They are providing for him." And for a shepherd here, as Moses has walked around the backside of this desert for 40 years, he's got that rod in his hand. And that rod was a symbol of Moses' protection. Let me say something else about that rod tonight. That rod ended up being a symbol of God's proof. If you look over there and skip forward a couple chapters, Exodus chapter 7,
I want you to see this. It's proof, and I'll come back in a second to our text page at least. But in Exodus chapter 7, in verse 9, the Bible says, "When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for us, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." Now, we've all seen the Ten Commandments with Charleston Heston. We know what happens. He cast that rod down there. It turned into a snake. The magicians cast it down there. It turned into a snake. And Moses' rod, snake, whatever you want to call it, ate the other one, snake. Then it turned right back into a rod again. Amen. It's a symbol of proof, praise the Lord. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. So I'm quoting Charleston Heston. Hey, look over there in Exodus 7, verse 19. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and the vessels of stone." Hey, listen, God told him to take that same rod. He said, "Hey, what's in that hand?" He says, "A rod. He's going to put that thing over there. Put them over all that water. It's all going to turn to blood." Look over there in verse 8, or chapter 8, in verse 5. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, stretch forth thine hand, and with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt." You say, "Preacher, what in the world is that?" Here's what I'm telling you that is tonight, friend. What that is this evening is that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that is God Himself, saying, "Take that rod that you have," and it's a symbol of a proof. Now, you say, a proof of what? If you'll go back to Exodus in chapter 3, and in verse 19, the Bible says in Exodus 3:19, "And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by my mighty hand, and I will stretch out mine hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that, he will let you go." Now, we're all familiar with the 10 plagues. And we're all familiar with what happened there, the first one being the water being turned into blood. God used that same rod to be a picture unto those Jews and unto those Egyptians that He is God. And He said, "Stretch that thing forth over the water, became blood. Put it over the water, frogs came out." He said, "Cast it down, turned into a serpent." It was a symbol of proof. It's a symbol of protection. It's a symbol of one's profession. But I want you to read the very next verse in Exodus chapter 4, where God had asked him, He said, "What's in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And the Bible says, this is God speaking, and He said, "Cast it on the ground." Now, can I say this to you tonight? There's some things in your life this evening. Things that are symbol of your profession, who you identify yourself as. Things in your life that is a symbol of your protection, that which you believe secures you. Makes you feel safe at home and safe and sound, that the bills may be paid. There's some things that you measure tonight in your life as proof of God in your life and the things that He's doing for you, that God says, cast it down to the ground. We want the Holy Spirit of God. We want that touch of God in our heart and our life like it may have happened years back. We want that touch of God that may have touched you one night in a revival meeting back in the day. Man, we've fooled ourselves so much in this modern day of 2012. We've convinced ourselves that the Holy Spirit of God's not moving anymore. And I'm telling you right now, you're dead wrong, amen. We've convinced ourselves, well, it can't be like it used to. No, it can be better than it used to, Brother Colton. I am so sick and tired of hearing people saying that the Holy Spirit of God just not moving. I don't know what planet you're on, but you're not on my planet. Amen. I'm telling you right now, the Spirit of God will move just as much as you want it to move, but it's going to take you casting some things down in your life. It's going to take you casting down what you think your identity is, what is a symbol of your profession today, of what your identity is in this world. It's going to take you casting down what you think is your protection tonight, amen. I get employees all the time, or used to all the time, that will sit there and moan and groan about bills and about being paid, and bless God, I pay my bills, and I do this, and I do that, and I would just tell them straight, just as with the straightest face as you can imagine, listen, you don't pay your bills, God pays your bills. That's who pays. Well, I got a job. God gave you the job, amen. Well, we got business coming in. God brought that business in. Well, hey, we want to give you a raise, amen, because you're doing good. The numbers are up. God brought that business in, amen. Listen, I don't think I'm a great businessman. I don't think I'm a great anything, amen. I mean, I'm telling you right now that when that business grows, and I've watched it grow in leaps and bounds, friend, I'm telling you right now, it is God.
God's hand that needs to be seen. Amen and amen. I'm not going to let the profession of this world identify me, but it's going to be God and the movement of the Holy Spirit of God tonight. But you're going to have to cast it down. That don't mean you run away from it. That don't mean you throw it away. That don't mean you stop it. You serve God in the profession that He's given you. But you better bet your bottom dollar tonight that that profession better not identify you. It better not lock you in. You better not think that's what's giving you all the things that you have in this life, because that's not what it is. And God told Moses, what's that in your hand? It's a rod. He said, cast it down. We're holding some things in our life tonight. Every single one of us in here. We either have or will. We're holding some things that God says you cast them down if you want the Holy Spirit of God to move in your life. You want that touch of God in your life like it may have happened once before. There's some things in our life that we are thinking that is keeping us sound and secure, that is a symbol of our protection in this life today. There's some things that we have, and God is saying, would you please cast that down and just trust me, amen. And you'll see the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. There's some things in our life that we're measuring as proof that God's in something. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know. I don't even know what it is for me, Brother Coulter. Amen. All I know is I'm going to do what God told me to do. That's all I can do. Son, I can't look back and say, well, you know what? That right there worked. That's proof God's in that thing. Amen. When you are in the will of God, when the Lord moves upon your heart and that Holy Spirit of God begins to touch your life and tender your soul and give that little, fill that spirit, fill that body up with that warm Holy Ghost Spirit. Amen. It don't add up on paper. Y'all understand that tonight? It don't add up on paper. I guarantee you this, it don't add up on paper how this little bitty old church has given almost $1 million to missions in 11 years. That don't add up. That don't add up. Amen? It don't add up how an African pastor can sit over there in the midst of a hot, heated Kenyan bush or jungle, whatever they call it, they can call it a bush, underneath a tree, new president comes in, or prime minister, whatever they call him, took his farmland away, burned his buildings down, burned everything that he had, and he got nothing. But he's got 300 souls that comes here and preach underneath the tree. That don't add up, brother. No sound system, no padded pews, no heated and cooled lights, no projector screen. Most of them probably ain't got a Bible. Amen. They print Bibles in Kenya. That don't add up. You know what don't add up? It don't add up when old boy starts walking 15 miles every day in Kenya to get to work. Every day as he walks 15 miles to work and 15 miles back. And just one day out in the middle of nowhere, him and a bunch of zebras and antelope and whatever else runs around in Africa, a piece of paper rolls by. And he bends down and picks that piece of paper up. And I mean, can you, that's almost like Moses walking around the backside of a desert in a bush on fire and consumed not. Where'd that come from? He reaches down, picks it up. It's written in Swahili. It's a gospel tract. And the man gets saved. And today he's pastoring the churches over there. And he's done planting about 30 churches in Kenya from that one man. Amen. That don't add up. You'd have never in your life had proof that that man walking 30 miles a day to provide for his family was proof that God was in his life. But boy, when that gospel tract rolled, by the way, that sure did, didn't it? There's some things in our life, friend, that we're using to give us our identity of our profession, to give us our protection, our security, our blanket. There's some things that we're going to have in our life tonight that we're utilizing as proof of the will of God in our life. And can I say this to you, what God's telling you this evening? He said, cast that thing down. Would you get that thing out of the way? Get it out of the way so I can use you. Would you cast that thing down to the ground tonight so I can come in and show you who God is? I'm convinced tonight that if God showed up inside of some of our lives, I'm convinced we wouldn't know what to do with it. Y'all remember the last time you had that touch of God in your life? Y'all remember the last time God smote your heart and you just started crying because of how good He is? Remember that? Remember the last time God broke your heart over a lost soul dying and splitting hell wide open? I understand, guys. The world is fast-paced. There's a lot going on. We're dealing with things today that Spurgeon and Finney and even J. Frank Norris, and we're dealing with things today. Even J. Frank down there preaching against a Hell's Half Acre down in Texas. We're dealing with that Hell's Half Acre. My soul, we got Hell's Half Estates now. Amen. We're dealing with things that those men, they didn't deal with. I understand that. What used to be quietly spoken of in the backside of a filthy, dingy alley is on billboards today, and it's popular. I understand that. But isn't the same God on the throne today? That was the same God that visited Moses, says, cast that rod down. Isn't it the same one? Isn't it the same God that spoke this world into existence? Isn't it the same one tonight? Or did He change? See, you're reserved tonight, guys. You're afraid to agree with what I'm saying because of what it may cost you, of what security you may lose, of what proof you'll have to put down and just trust God. You're afraid to do that, and you've got your guard up. I can see it in your eyes. You've got you're reserved. You're afraid of what God will do for you and maybe do to you if He'll just get a hold of you. Can I tell you this? Whatever He does is for your benefit. Can I tell you this? Whatever He does to you is going to be for you to benefit Him. Amen? He's not going to lead you down the wrong path. He's not going to hurt you. My soul, God loves you. But when's the last time you wept over a lost soul? When's the last time that your heart was just broken and tendered because of how good of a God we have?
He said, what's that in your hand, man? He said, a rod. He said, cast it to the ground.
Will you bow your heads tonight?
Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Father in heaven, we come to You this evening. God in heaven, we need You tonight, Lord. Father, we're going to commit this invitation unto You. And Lord, I pray that You'd give some victory this evening in our hearts and our lives. Lord God in heaven, I pray that Your touch would rest down upon our hearts.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 30072.